Now, this chapter, is very simple in some ways, and there's a few tricky things in it, but we'll try to make the tricky things simple. We'll try. Now, the chapter only has three sections. The first section describes how bhakti is superior to jnana, or impersonalism, both in realization and in practice, both ways superior. The second section describes progressive stages within bhakti. And then the third section describes qualities that endear one to Krishna. So actually, the first section and the third section are quite simple, and the middle section is very interesting. But it's also interesting that each of the acharyas, they explain parts of the middle section differently. Everyone explains it differently. But in any case, at the end of the second group of six chapters in the Bhagavad Gita, which was especially the most confidential of the groups of six chapters, which especially glorified devotion, bhakti yoga, Arjuna wants to end speaking about bhakti, because the last chapter was filled with awe and reverence, and Arjuna was simply paying his obeisances again and again and again, and his hair was standing on end, and he was fearful for so much of the time. So he wants to bring the topic right back to bhakti. He wants to clarify something that's been talked about so many times, especially in the first six chapters, about jnana and bhakti, and which path is superior, the path of work or the path of renunciation of work. Since the result of the jnana path is the impersonal realization, and the result of the bhakti path is Krishna, at least superficially. Krishna will actually explain something a little bit different than that. Arjuna, to bring the point back to bhakti, and as Prabhupada will explain in a purport, to clarify his own position as superior, he asks, Arjuna inquired, which are considered to be more perfect? Those who are always properly engaged in your devotional service, or those who worship the impersonal Brahman, the unmanifest? Purport. Krishna has now explained about the personal, the impersonal, and the universal, and has described all kinds of devotees and yogis. So this question also may be understood, that after the universal form was seen, although it is not exactly an impersonal form, but still it is not exactly a personal form. So Arjuna is also making sure that no one becomes confused and thinks that this universal form is supreme. So therefore, he asks Krishna again, which is considered to be more perfect, those who are always properly engaged in your devotional service or those who worship the impersonal Brahman? So what is the question? Is the question which realization is higher or which is the better process? Yes, which is the better process? Generally, the transcendentalists can be divided into two classes. One is the impersonalist and the other is the personalist. The personalist devotee engages himself with all energy in the service of the Supreme Lord. The impersonalist also engages himself not directly in the service of Krishna, but in meditation on the impersonal Brahman, the unmanifest. We find in this chapter of the different processes for realization of the Absolute Truth, bhakti yoga, devotional service is the highest. If one at all desires to have the association of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then he must take to devotional service. We'll skip one paragraph. In the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita, the Supreme Lord explained that a living entity is not the material body, he's a spiritual spark. And the absolute truth is the spiritual whole. In the seventh chapter, he spoke of the living entity as being part and parcel of the supreme whole, and recommended that he transfer his attention fully to the whole. Then again in the eighth chapter, it was said that anyone who thinks of Krishna at the time of quitting his body is at once transferred to the spiritual sky, to the abode of Krishna. And at the end of the sixth chapter, the Lord clearly said that of all yogis, one who always thinks of Krishna within himself is considered to be most perfect. So in practically every chapter, the conclusion has been that one should be attached to the personal form of Krishna, for that is the highest spiritual realization. Nevertheless, there are those who are attached to the who are not attached to the personal form of Krishna. They are so firmly detached that even in the preparation of commentaries to Bhagavad Gita, they want to distract other people from Krishna and transfer all devotion to the impersonal Brahma Jyoti. They prefer to meditate on the impersonal form of the Absolute Truth, which is beyond the reach of the senses and is not manifest. And so factually, there are two classes of transcendentalists. Now Arjuna is trying to settle the question of which process is easier and which of the classes is most perfect. So actually, by asking which process is better, he's also making the point of which realization is better. So two are actually being addressed. In other words, he is clarifying his own position because he is attached to the personal form of Krishna. He is not attached to the impersonal Brahman. He wants to know whether his position is secure. The impersonal manifestation, either in this material world or in the spiritual world of the Supreme Lord, is a problem for meditation. Actually, one cannot perfectly conceive of the impersonal feature of the Absolute Truth. Therefore, Arjuna wants to say, what is the use of such a waste of time? Arjuna experienced in the 11th chapter that to be attached to the personal form of Krishna is best because he could thus understand all other forms at the same time and there was no disturbance to his love for Krishna. So when the impersonal, when the universal form came out, it actually disturbed Arjuna's love for him. But if one actually knows Krishna, then one has love for Krishna, and yet he has realization of Brahman and Paramatma simultaneously. In the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, there is one section where Gop Kumar is on, I think it's on Janaloka, I think. And the Kumaras are there, and everyone is meditating, and he starts to meditate. And because when one meditates, the mind will tend to become inactive. And he immediately didn't like that. Even though the inactivity of the mind brings peace and satisfaction, it's inactivity and one loses the inclination to serve Krishna. And that, so it was actually repulsive to him and he gave it up for the service of the Lord. So the two being merged in Brahman and serving Krishna with great priti or affection, the two are contradictory. Arjuna experienced in the 11th chapter that to be attached to the personal form of Krishna is best because he could thus understand all other forms at the same time and there was no disturbance to his love for Krishna. This important question asked of Krishna by Arjuna will clarify the distinction between the impersonal and personal conceptions of the Absolute Truth. So after asking the question, which process is better and ultimately which result is better, the Supreme Personality of Godhead replies to Arjuna's question by saying, those who fix their minds on my personal form and are always engaged in worshipping me with great and transcendental faith are considered by me to be the most perfect. In answer to Arjuna's question, Krishna clearly says that he who concentrates upon his personal form and who worships him with faith and devotion is to be considered most perfect in yoga. For one in such Krishna consciousness, there are no material activities because everything is done for Krishna. A pure devotee is constantly engaged. Sometimes he chants, sometimes he hears or reads books about Krishna, or sometimes he cooks prasadam or goes to the marketplace to purchase something for Krishna or does something. Or sometimes he washes the temple or the dishes. Whatever he does not let a single moment pass without devoting his activities to Krishna. Such action is in full samadhi. So Krishna answers that those whose minds are fixed on him, they are, if their minds are fixed with great transcendental faith, they are considered to be the most perfect. So Krishna immediately answers the question of Arjuna. Then in 3 and 4, he puts the impersonal in perspective. Because Arjuna becomes very happy to hear Krishna's glorification of devotional service in 2, but he wants to know, what about the others? What about those jnanis and impersonalists who are meditating on the impersonal? What is the result of their actions? What do they obtain? So Krishna explains, but those who fully worship the unmanifested, that which lies beyond the perception of the senses, the all-pervading, inconceivable, unchanging, fixed, and immovable, the impersonal conception of the absolute truth, by controlling the various senses and being equally disposed to everyone, such persons engaged in the welfare at all, at last achieve me. So that achieve me is prapnuvanti. Prapnuvanti means achieve, and mam me, eva certainly. They certainly achieve me. So what does that mean? That they achieve Krishna? Does that mean that someone who worships the impersonal Brahman, fully satisfied in the impersonal Brahman, will go to Krishna? No. But yes. They go to Krishna, but they go to the nivishesha aspect of Krishna, Krishna's impersonal aspect. But it's him. But it's his formless, attributeless, and qualityless, and activityless aspect of himself. So they're actually achieving Krishna, but not a form that the devotees are interested in, but it's actually Krishna. So they certainly will achieve Krishna. Text 5. For those whose mind are attached to the unmanifest, impersonal feature of the Supreme. So here is directly the answer to Arjuna's question, which path is superior? Advancement is very troublesome. To make progress in that discipline is always difficult for those who are embodied. So the question is, why is the path of bhakti superior? And the answer is because this other path is full of difficulties. And the result also is not superior. Rather, it is inferior. It is not as complete as understanding, knowing, and loving Krishna. So why is it that the path is more difficult of worshipping this Brahman and meditating on Brahman? Why is it more difficult? We've gone over this point quite a few times in the first 6 chapters. Why is it so difficult? Mr. Yogananda, were you raising your hand?
Well, I know why Prabhupada says it's difficult.
Why?
Because we're not used to the impersonal aspect, we're used to the personal.
Yes, and we can't conceive of something inconceivable. That's true. I was thinking of something.
In the first book, Prabhupada said that it's impossible actually.
Yeah, you can't understand something that's understandable, ununderstandable. But also, that's in the result, saying that the result can't be achieved, practically speaking. But also, to this point about inactivity and the renunciation of activity that one has to engage in is so difficult because the senses demand engagement. So one may think, well, it's also difficult for the devotees, because they have rules and regulations that restrict the engagement of their senses too. But the answer is that because the devotees have Krishna and they feel Krishna's presence, so their misery is mitigated by that. Because they feel Krishna, they have that understanding and that relationship with Krishna that makes them close to Krishna. Therefore, that misery is extremely minimized, and rather because they feel, if they're actually devotees, they feel with Krishna, so they actually feel happiness by not engaging their senses in Maya. But because the Mayavadis, they don't have any engagement for their senses, they feel just misery. And they can't say that the impersonal Brahman is with them and giving them special attention, because Brahman can't do that. That's not the whole idea of Karma Yoga. They have to give up all sensual engagements. They can't engage their senses in anything, actually. But what they do is the impersonalists will take this and say that Krishna is saying that the path of meditation is more difficult, therefore what I should do is engage in devotional service with the desire of achieving Brahman. That's how the impersonalists will twist that. But Krishna's already explained, avajananti mam mudha manushyam tanamashrita. So therefore, those people who think that Krishna's form is just a temporary manifestation and composed of maya, mogasya karma, mogasya moga karmano, moga jnana vachetasa. So their jnana, their hopes for jnana, completely annihilated vachetasa. They'll be frustrated. They cannot achieve it. Okay. But those, on the other hand, who worship me, giving up all their activities unto me, and being devoted to me without deviation, engaged in devotional service, and always meditating upon me, having fixed their minds upon me, O son of Prita, for them I am the swift deliverer from the ocean of birth and death. In the middle of the purport. So Krishna himself says, and as we just explained before, that although there may be some difficulties for a devotee, but because he knows, he trusts, he has faith in Krishna's promise that Krishna will personally take care of his devotee, they therefore are happy. And here Prabhupada explains in the purport. The purport of this verse is that a devotee does not need to practice Astanga Yoga in order to transfer his soul to the spiritual planets. The responsibility is taken by the Supreme Lord himself. He clearly states here that he himself becomes the deliverer. A child is completely cared for by his parents, and thus his position is secure. Similarly, a devotee does not need to endeavor to transfer himself by yoga practice to other planets. Rather, the Supreme Lord, by his great mercy, comes at once, riding on his bird carrier Garuda, and at once delivers the devotee from material existence. Although a man who has fallen in the ocean may struggle very hard and may be very expert in swimming, he cannot save himself. But if someone comes and picks him up from the water, then he is easily rescued. Similarly, the Lord picks up the devotee from this material existence. One simply has to practice the easy process of Krishna consciousness and fully engage himself in devotional service. Any intelligent man should always prefer the process of devotional service to all other paths. In the Narayaniya, this is confirmed as follows. Yavai sadhana sampati prusarta chatuste taya vina terapnoti naro narayanasraya. The purport of this verse is that one should not engage in the different processes of fruitive activity or cultivate knowledge by the mental speculative process. One who is devoted to the Supreme Personality can attain all the benefits derived from other yogic processes, speculation, rituals, sacrifices, charity, etc. That is the specific benediction of devotional service that's already been described. Simply by chanting the holy name of Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. A devotee of the Lord can approach the supreme destination easily and happily, but this destination cannot be approached by any other process of religion. The conclusion of Bhagavad Gita is stated in the 18th chapter, Savadamam Pritya Jam Amekam Sharanam Raja Aham Tvam Sava Papebhyo Mokshishami Masusha. One should give up all other processes of self-realization and simply execute devotional service in Krishna consciousness. That will enable one to reach the highest perfection of life. There is no need for one to consider the sinful actions of his past life, because the Supreme Lord fully takes charge of him. Therefore, one should not futilely try to deliver himself in spiritual realization. Let everyone take shelter of the Supreme Omnipotent Godhead Krishna. That is the highest perfection of life. The idea, as clearly stated by Krishna himself and Prabhupada, that the material energy is so powerful and is as vast as the ocean. And as one cannot swim across the ocean on his own, it is impossible, no matter how powerful one's swimming ability is. Similarly, it is impossible to deliver oneself and free oneself from Maya. It is impossible. So rather than attempting to become powerful and strengthen his abilities so he can get free from Maya, the devotee takes a different tact. He simply develops his love for Krishna and his greed for serving Krishna. And then he puts the responsibility for freeing him from Maya on Krishna. The devotee loses his desire even to become free from Maya. Janmani janmanishvare bhavadtat bhakti ahaituki tvai. All I want, praise Mahaprabhu, is your devotional service, even if it is birth after birth after birth. So the devotee just cultivates his greed for serving Krishna and his attachment. And then, when that attachment grows to a feverish pitch that he cannot live a moment without Krishna, and he is undeviated in his affection for Krishna, he's an ananya bhakta, without being having his affection reposed in anything else, then Krishna sees that taste and attraction of the devotee, and he benedicts him. And one can practice, on the other hand, devotional service for births and births and births and kalpas and kalpas and kalpas. But if he doesn't have ruchi and asakti, if he doesn't have taste and attachment, Krishna will not benedict him with his pure devotional service. Therefore, devotional service is called sudolabha. What is the meaning of sudolabha? It means very rare. And this is why it's so rare. Two reasons Jiva Goswami gives. One reason is that Krishna does not award it easily, because Krishna ends up being controlled by this devotional service. So he doesn't award that cheaply. But when someone is ananya bhakta and he is full of attachment to love Krishna and serve Krishna, then Krishna will award that due to the taste and unflinching devotion. Krishna will award that to the devotee.
Is that the reason?
Huh?
Is that the
other
reason why
it's not? The two reasons. He just rarely gives it because it becomes purchased by it. And the second, that he gives it only when someone performs a devotional service with taste and attachment, and the tendency is to perform mechanically. We're doing it because we're supposed to do it, rather than out of increasing, blossoming affection for Krishna. And therefore, Krishna gives us so many other things, because he is very tricky. He'll give us so many things. Whatever we want, he'll give us, but he'll hide this and hold it tight, conceal it. You want to be rich man, he'll give you that. You want to be powerful, wealthy, you want to be Lord Brahma, you want to be a demigod, he'll give you that. Whatever you want, he'll give you. He'll hide this pure devotional service. So we have to hold out, make sure that we don't cultivate any other desires within our heart other than to serve Krishna. Hold out for that. So when Krishna comes and says, "Oh, you are such a nice devotee, what would you like? 5 cars? 10 televisions? How about a planet? 2 planets? A universe? What would you like? You want to be a demigod? There's the Nandanandana Gardens. Oh, very nice. And not only that, I have an idea. Why don't you come and live with me on my planet? I I'll give you a form just like mine. You can be an intimate with me. Samipya. Sarupa. Sarupa. You can have the same form as mine. Whatever you like, you can have. We have to train ourselves to say, no, no, no. No. I am not doing business with you. I just want to serve you. And I want to serve you in a very special way. Sarupya, Samipya, Salokya, Sarsti. Yeah, all opulences. You like that? You like all opulences? These things can be arranged. He'll offer you anything. Spiritual, yes, spiritual opulences. You want material ones? You want spiritual ones? As you like. Spiritual, yes, you can have that. Yeah, no problem. It can be arranged. Huh?
But it's not a devotional service.
Yes, yeah, devotion. You want devotional service? Yeah, okay. You want to go to what planet? Name a planet. Any planet you like. Yeah, Kuth Krishna, yeah, all right. No problem, no problem. After all, he's the omnipotent Lord. He can give you whatever you want. But if you want nothing except to serve him, I don't want anything except to serve him. If you want that, if you're willing to be satisfied with that, then you can have it. See, there's difference. The nectar devotion describes that to be in Braja is so special. You can't demand anything from Krishna. It's just completely Krishna-centered. Just serving Krishna. To please Krishna. And Krishna, just know what happens if you hold out like this. What happens is when the gopis came to Krishna at moonlight on the full moon night of the Sarat season, and Krishna told them to go home. When they were there, they wouldn't go home, and they chastised him. And he eventually admitted that he couldn't offer them anything anymore in repayment for their service. So he said, you have conquered me, and you have to be satisfied with the service that you're rendering. And therefore the gopis, who had no desires other than to please Krishna, are considered the highest of all the devotees. They didn't have any relationship with Krishna formally. Krishna left them. He would sometimes dance with one and then another. And they were just simply interested in serving Krishna. And their hearts had been given to Krishna. So much so, that when Uddhava came, he came to Vrindavan after Krishna left, and he came with a message from Krishna to pacify the gopis. That was Krishna's trick, actually. He didn't send Uddhava to pacify the gopis. He sent Uddhava to learn from the gopis, actually. So Uddhava came, and he read the message, my dear gopis, you should always know, Krishna said, that I'm always with you. So you should just remember my pastimes, and in that way, I will always be with you. So don't worry about the fact that I'm separated from you. Just meditate on me. And the gopis said, why are you giving us this fifth class instruction to meditate on Krishna? Our problem is we can't stop meditating on Krishna. He was praying that he could become just a blade of grass so that one gopi, one very special gopi, could trample on him, and if he could catch the dust of the feet from that one gopi. And who is that one gopi? Especially? Yes, thank you. Radha. Srimati Radharani. Brahma prayed to be just, if he could be at least something outside of Vrindavan, so that when the people who walk in Vrindavan, walk out of Vrindavan, and they're in the washroom, and their feet are dirty or something, and then they scrape their feet on a rock or something to clean their feet. He wished to be there so that they scrape their feet and he gets the dust like that. But Uddhava's request was even more specific. He wanted to catch the dust of the feet of Srimati Radharani. Because the gopis had so much purchased Krishna with their affection for him. Practically, Krishna was like a plaything in the hand of the gopis. As long as it's not about jnana. Okay, good, I'm teasing.
In Bhagavatam, how do you have to understand it? When Bhagavatam, it says Krishna takes away every so many things.
Hari. Yes, but mostly he takes... Hari means he who takes away, but mostly he takes away your heart. But who, when we say Hare Krishna, that Hari means he who takes away, but that refers to Srimati Radharani, because although Krishna takes away everything, but Srimati Radharani takes away Krishna's heart. So when we say Hare Krishna, we mean Radha Krishna. And she also takes away his flute sometimes. She's tricky too.
And Prabhupada gives the example behind in his life how Krishna arranged
so he was. Harishya Svadhanam Svanai.
Helped him in that sense.
Yes.
To get him.
Yes.
So how can we reconcile?
Reconcile what?
In the one sense, Krishna does not. Can be rich very easy. Doesn't give himself, but in another way, he helps also. So one can reach him.
So Dolaba, but Prabhupada was very, very special. But he also helps us. He'll take away everything. He does take away everything. Therefore, he Twama Kinshana Gochara. Krishna is the property of those who possess nothing, who value nothing in this material world. And for those people, Krishna is easily purchased because he hears Naivi Avidartam Abhidatum Vai. Yes? Right. Tam Makinchana Gochara. That Krishna, because a person who values nothing in the material world, a person who has values something in the material world, he can't call to Krishna with his full heart. He can't call out to Krishna with his full heart at all. So Krishna is very kind. He takes away things. But yet, he's Sudolabha. That position is very, very rarely achieved. Especially when we say very rarely achieved, we mean especially bhava bhakti. This is the quality of bhava bhakti. Out of the six qualities of pure devotional service, two are of sadhana bhakti, two are bhava bhakti, and two are prema bhakti. And sadolabha is one of the qualities of bhava bhakti. And the other of bhava bhakti is decries the pleasure of liberation. That makes moksha, or liberation, appear worthy of being spit at, and nothing more, practically. Okay. So now Krishna directly orders Arjuna in the second section. Maeva mana adatsva, mai buddhim navesha, navesha shasi maeva ato odvana samshaya. Just fix your mind upon me, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Mai means Shyama Sunda. And engage all your intelligence in me. Thus you will live in me always, without a doubt. So in me means near me. So jnana, in jnana, one fixes his mind on the fact that he's a soul. In Krishna consciousness, one fixes his mind on Krishna. Ultimately, couldn't care less if he's a soul. He just loves Krishna. His mind is just can't get off of Krishna. Now that's the first stage. That's always thinking of Krishna. This is perfection. The second stage, because Arjuna says, this is very difficult. So what should I do if I can't do this? So the second stage is, my dear Arjuna, winner of wealth, if you cannot fix your mind upon me without deviation, then follow the regulative principles of bhakti yoga and this way develop a desire to attain me. So, there are different ways to understand these progressions. I'm going to explain one way. This one means that if you cannot always fix your mind on Krishna without deviation, always be practicing, engage in sadhana in such a way that you are practicing to always fix your mind on Krishna without deviation. Now the next stage. So there's perfection and then practice. The next stage. No, let me finish. If you cannot practice the regulations of bhakti yoga, then just try to work for me, because by working for me you will come to the perfect stage. So this one, I'll explain possibly a second way to explain everything after, but now I'll explain. This one is just work for Krishna. Now, working for Krishna is when you give up your work and do what Krishna wants you to do. And in this way, if one does that, you will come to the perfect stage of always thinking about Krishna. When one can't always think about Krishna and can't even, isn't strong enough in intelligence and in the mode of goodness even to just work, to always practice thinking of Krishna, always try and fixing his mind, and his job is to practice thinking about Krishna, and then one can work for Krishna. And if, however, you're unable to work in this consciousness of me, then try to act giving up all results of your work and try to be self-situated. And this means nishkam karma. So you keep the work that you want, but you give the results to Krishna. Now, here's another way to understand this one. These. Just try to fix your mind upon me, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and engage all your intelligence in me. Thus you will always live in me, always without a doubt. That only can mean one thing. Always mind, without a doubt, constantly, always fixed on Krishna. Then, if you cannot fix your mind upon me without deviation, then follow the regulative principles of bhakti yoga. In this way, develop the desire to attain me. And in this one, these are the regulative principles, like living in the, that one does while living in the temple. And he's always working for Krishna, basically. And then gradually one will attain the desire. And then after the desire, the ability to always remember Krishna. Then it's one stage down for the next one. If you can't practice the rules and regulations of bhakti, then just try to work for me. And give by working for me, you'll come to the perfect stage. So if you're working for Krishna, looking at it this way, you give the fruits to Krishna because you're working for him. So in the second way, this one would be nishkam karma. And then, if whoever you're unable to work in this consciousness of me, then just try to act giving up all the results of your work and try to be self-situated. So in this way, just become detached from the fruits of your work in this one. That would be sakama in this way. Now in 12, there is somewhat of a review of these, and there's different ways to understand 12. If you cannot take to this practice means either karma palatyag, giving up, attached to the work and giving Krishna the fruit of your work. That was the first way that we described it. Or the second way, if you cannot take to the practice of just being detached from the fruit of your work. It's one stage lower. If you cannot take to this practice, then engage yourself in the cultivation of knowledge. So you have to look at my hand right now. You have to engage yourself in the cultivation of knowledge. So knowledge would be the lowest. Better than knowledge is meditation, and better than meditation is renunciation of the fruits of action. Now, by such renunciation, it can attain peace of mind. So, it's knowledge, meditation, then renunciation of the fruits of action. And the renunciation of the fruits of action will give you peace of mind. But it's peace of mind, as Krishna explained, the peace formula in the fifth chapter, Bhoktaram Jagatapasam, which is devotional service or prema bhakti. So if one can get to the point of renunciation of the fruit of his work, especially if he can give the fruit of his work to Krishna, then ultimately he'll go through the other stages by the result of that purification and then attain to Krishna. Prema bhakti. So that is how to look at this. So Krishna in this section is actually emphasizing karma pala tyaga or nishkam karma here, because that is the, for ordinary people, that is the basic platform that we preach on. We preach to people, do your duty but be detached from the results. That is a basic platform for preaching. So Krishna is emphasizing that because that's what ordinary people should come to. But for devotees, they shouldn't be satisfied with just being attached to the work and being detached from the fruit of their work. What to speak of being attached to the fruit of the work and being attached to the fruit of the work. This is not for devotees. devotees should come to the higher platform of being surrendered in their work and doing whatever Krishna wants. One time, I remember Sri Vikram Maharaj, he was told by Prabhupada one day in Mayapur to go to Korea and preach in Korea. And he immediately started collecting men and collecting money in Mayapur festival, and he was getting ready to go. And then the next day, Prabhupada called him to his room and said, I want you to go to Chandigarh and help with the preaching there. So Sri Vikram Maharaj said, but you just told me to go to Korea. And Prabhupada said, yes, and now I am telling you to go to Chandigarh. So that is higher than karma pala tyaga, because he was not attached to the fruit and he was not attached to the work either. So he went to Chandigarh because he was a servant. So the idea is to become elevated in our service mood. And ultimately, we have to come to the point of loving Krishna. Because without love, the service isn't very tasteful to Krishna. So ultimately, it's the affection that's going to make the service attractive to Krishna, to taste, to eat the offering, bhakti paritam. Ultimately, it's going to be that makes Krishna eager to eat our offering or accept our service. So here are different stages. And ultimately, it should come to the point it is not a struggle to put our mind on Krishna, like Uddhava said to the gopis. It's a struggle to take one's mind away from Krishna, because ultimately Krishna is all attractive. But that is purity, and that is the pure consciousness of the living entity.
What is this meditation which you described here? Is it
Super Soul.
Like Jnana Yoga?
And it's higher than Jnana, which is knowing that you're not your body. And karma pala tyag is bhakti already. Nishkam karma bhakti. There's many ways to understand this.
Because in preaching is very practical, because sometimes when you say people who are not ready, you can preach and discover information. And everyone wants meditation. I tell them some people they do TM, they trust meditation, they say,
No.
I don't recommend it, but I say, you know, I try to record it, I say, well, at least some
better than TM is giving a donation. No, it means meditation on the super soul. That's the purpose of meditation, is meditation on the super soul. Otherwise, the materialist is meditating on his money, he's meditating on his family, so it's the super soul, something spiritual.
So you gave two ways to see these verses.
Yes.
So which way should we explain? Should we explain depending on time and circumstance?
Well, explain it the way... easiest way is to explain it the way Prabhupada explains it in the purports, which is the second way.
Because also in this verse when he says he just announced the fruits, he also speaks if someone gives to hospitals. It's not just
right.
Company, it's also, is it, would it be also if he comes and just gives his money to schools? And he says even if someone does this, gradually develops pure contemplation consciousness.
Gradually, but not ever, unless he comes in contact with a devotee of Krishna. Because piety alone cannot bring you to Krishna. So that is just like bringing out some punya, goodness in the heart. So that the heart is becoming fertile. Like the field is becoming fertile. But no matter how fertile the field is, until you put the seed in, then there's no question of anything growing. So it is actually, so which is the cause of the Krishna consciousness? Is it the fertility or the seed ultimately? Which is the cause? Right, but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Patita Pavana. So even if the seed is not fertile, just by chanting Hare Krishna, one can become fertile. So ultimately, the seed is more important because, like, Tara Jagai Shakshi, what is it? Tara Shakshi Jagai Madhai. Just look at the example of Jagai and Madhai. They were so impious, doing horrible things. What to speak of renouncing the fruit of the work, they were doing abominable activities, demonic activities.
But And then here Prabhupada said, in that respect, social service, community service, national service, etc., may be accepted so that someday when they come to the stage of pure devotional service.
Right.
So that's what you say, we plant the seed.
Without the seed, it can't happen. But Prabhupada is trying to encourage people. So he's putting that type of fruit of work or altruistic work in a Krishna conscious perspective, that it's lower than serving Krishna. That's what he's trying to do. He's trying to explain that, because usually people think that's the highest thing in the material world, selfless service to man. But actually it isn't. And Prabhupada is putting it in the perspective of the lowest rung of this progression over here. So he's actually moved the progression down to have a spot for that. So the highest thing in the material world can be seen in put this perspective of the lowest thing in the spiritual search. That's what he's very mercifully done for the purpose of preaching.
So the first explanation he gave is more for the devotees.
Well, I can't say that myself. But I can say that it's also a very nice way to look at it. But one should know the stage, these stages, that's fully remembering Krishna, then practicing to fully remember Krishna, then giving up one's work for Krishna with the hope of gradually developing the intense desire to always remember Krishna. And then, if one can't give up one's work, then one should give up the fruit of his work for Krishna. And some other time, I can explain, have an analysis of when someone should move into the temple based on this, based on that understanding.
Weren't you wrote that you wrote an article about it? Confidentially, you know that.
Huh?
I learned from the Arjuna.
Working on it. Yeah, and I'll put it in the book next time, maybe the Bhagavad Gita book. Next time. Huh? Well, what can I say? Okay, let's go on. Now Krishna is going to explain the qualities that endear one to Krishna. These are divine qualities that make one dear to Krishna. He who no one is put into difficulty, he for whom no one is put into difficulty, and who is not disturbed by anyone, who is equipoised in happiness and distress, fear and anxiety, is very dear to me. My devotee who is not dependent on the ordinary course of activities, who is pure, expert without cares, free from pains, and not striving for some result, is very dear to me. One who neither rejoices nor grieves, who neither laments nor desires, and renounces both auspicious and inauspicious things, such a devotee is very dear to me. One who is equal to friends and enemies, who is equipoised in honor and dishonor, heat and cold, happiness and distress, fame and infamy, who is always free from contaminating association, always silent and satisfied with anything, who doesn't care for any residence, who is fixed in knowledge, and who is engaged in devotional service, such a person is very dear to me. Those who follow this imperishable path of devotional service and who completely engage themselves with faith, making me the supreme goal, are very, very dear to me. Purport. In this chapter, from verse 2 through the end, from Maya Vesha Manoye Mam, fixing the mind on Krishna, through Yetu Damam Ritamidam, the religion of eternal engagement, the Supreme Lord has explained the process of transcendental service for approaching Him. Such processes are very dear to the Lord, and He accepts a person engaged in them. The question of who is better, one who is engaged in the path of impersonal Brahman or one who is engaged in the personal service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, was raised by Arjuna, and the Lord replied to him so explicitly that there is no doubt that devotional service to the Personality of Godhead is the best of all processes of spiritual realization. In other words, in this chapter it is decided that through good association one develops attachment for pure devotional service and thereby accepts a bona fide spiritual master, and from him begins to hear and chant and observe the regulative principles of devotional service with faith, attachment, and devotion, and thus becomes engaged in the transcendental service of the Lord. So that good association is necessary. Otherwise it will never happen. Everything depends on association. Everything. So in the beginning, Krishna, Arjuna has asked which is better. So the conclusion is that devotional service is better. The goal is complete, more complete, and the process is simpler. It is joyfully performed. For the process of impersonal meditation, it is not joyfully performed. It is miserable because it involves sense abnegation or not engaging the senses. So it's torture practically for the embodied. And if one wants to take up impersonal realization and yet engage in devotional service, he's a what? A mudha. But if one wants impersonal realization but accepts the form of the Lord as eternal, Krishna will actually give him that, award him with his nivishesha aspect. Okay, any questions? Yes, Paul. In devotional service. Yeah, but there's two different kinds of Brahma. There's two different kinds of impersonalists. One is a Brahmavadi and one is a Mayavadi. The Brahmavadi accepts the form of the Lord as eternal, but he thinks that Brahman is higher. So he worships because he may understand that meditating on Brahman is too hard, too difficult, so therefore he worships the Lord, but for the purpose of attaining Brahman. So Krishna is so kind, yeyita mam prapadyante, as explained in the fourth chapter, that he will actually award that Brahmavadi Brahman realization. He will give him that. And so he satisfies the Brahmavadi. But the Mayavadi, the one who says that Krishna's form is a product of the mode of goodness, he is avajananti mam mudha manushyam taramat param bhava majanato mamavyaya manutam mamabhut. So he doesn't know. He's a mudha. And the result of his hard work and putana bhakti, just like Putana came to Krishna as if doing bhakti, but trying to kill Krishna. So the Mayavadis come to Krishna as if trying to serve him, but actually they're trying to kill him and say his form isn't real. So the result of that is nothing. Only the hard work that they have.
Yeah, but what do you mean when you say that they don't engage
the senses? There's two different ways of approaching this Brahman. One is without engaging the senses, meditating as a jnani, as Krishna has described. Or the other way is through devotional service. And without devotion, one can't attain Brahman. If one tries it the other way, it's so difficult.
They just do meditation. But
their main process is meditation. And that is like living alone in the forest.
Yes.
So much meditation, so much tapasya, so much austerity. And practically speaking, no engagement of the senses. Because what can they do? Everything that they say, this world is maya. Illusion. So what can they do within the world that won't entangle them further in the world? So therefore their goal is inactivity. Because they say Brahman is inactive, so therefore they also want to be inactive.
So what do they eat?
What do they eat? They eat the chapatis that you give them. That's what Prabhupada said. Although they say everything is illusion, they like chapatis and they're always wandering around looking for chapatis. And unfortunately, there are more Mayavadis than chapatis, so there is competition. Well, if all is one, you'll be happy and satisfied if I eat it. What's the problem? Anyway, it's not a very practical philosophy.
Maybe just briefly explain the two ways of understanding the first the Gita.
The what?
These verses, the 5 till 12, at different stages. Fixing the mind, following Sadhana Bhakti, giving up the world. So maybe just explain the
key is in the second one. The first one is the same, that one always remembers Krishna. The second one is either you're practicing to remember Krishna or you're practicing the rules and regulations and working for Krishna. Those are the two different ways to understand that.
Practicing the rules and regulations
and working for Krishna. Or practicing to always remember Krishna. That's the second one. So it's either practicing to remember Krishna, referring to the first one, or practicing and working for Krishna. Practicing the rules and regulations and working for Krishna. And then the third one in the first system is the second one of the second system. If I wrote it on the board, it would be so easy. So I'll put it on a piece of paper sometime and give it to you. Okay, thank you. Hare Krishna.